WTSQ 88.1 FM, The Status Quo.
Today, we're talking with Tejah Bumgarner, filmmaker and associate professor of filmmaking at Marshall University. Tejah, can you tell me more about your journey to becoming a filmmaker here in West Virginia?
Absolutely. First of all, thanks for having me on to chat today. It started sort of in a way when I was in high school. I took like VoTech classes and it was broadcasting. And so we learned about like cameras and editing because I always wanted to be, in short, famous. And I wanted to do that through acting. And so I thought, well, here's a way for me to get on camera. I can be on the news. Long story shorter, because, you know, of course, our lives take so many different roads and paths and things. I ended up in California, in Hollywood, waiting tables, doing the auditions, all of that fun stuff. And it wasn't quite working how I thought it should. You know, early 20s, when you think everything should just be easy. But I did luckily end up in some film classes at a community college because I was like, I guess I can do broadcasting again, whatever. And so I ended up in some film classes. And that's where I learned about like film as an art, and I could be behind the camera and I can make stories. And then, you know, that progressed into being interested in, well, what stories would I tell? And the classes I was in, there was, you know, push for write what you know. And so I started to do that and thinking about, well, I grew up in West Virginia, and so those are the stories I know. And then I ended up going to California Institute of the Arts for my BFA in filmmaking. And that's where I like made my first documentary about my hometown, which is Meadow Bridge, West Virginia. So I made that short doc and folks liked it and they were interested in this little town. And they're like, oh, this is an interesting short film about a small town in West Virginia. And then I started writing a narrative film based on like that experience and my experience of growing up there. And so that was kind of in the works, and I graduated and I'm like, well, what do I do? Do I just stay in Los Angeles and try to be a production assistant? Because I didn't really know, you know, I didn't have someone in the industry that I, you know, was related to, which could be very helpful. Or I just didn't have those connections that you sort of need in that industry. And so I was like, well, if I want to make films, I know where my stories are. That's West Virginia. And so moved back and just kind of did some scrappy filmmaking to be able to make work here. And then luckily secured, you know, my position at Marshall to be able to, well, it wasn't filmmaking when I started. I started in the School of Journalism, but now I'm in the School of Art and Design. And now it is a BFA in filmmaking, which is the first BFA in filmmaking in West Virginia that we have at Marshall University. So that's kind of my, in short, how I got to where I am now.
Very interesting. Beyond the initial documentary on Meadow Bridge, what are some of the other films that you've created throughout your career?
So after I made that short documentary and we moved back to West Virginia, I was working on a script about, it's like set in the late 90s, about growing up in a small town in Meadow Bridge. And I started writing that while I was still in film school, but brought that home, kept working on it. So that became my first feature fiction film, which was also called Meadow Bridge. Mind you, I love this place. And, you know, that was the first one. I had no clue what I was doing. Luckily, I had some folks who were willing to like take that little trip with me to be able to make that film. And that one was from, we did a Kickstarter. And then also my most recent like completed film was a feature documentary film called Picture Proof, which follows a family dealing with substance use disorder, Debbie Ellis, Ashley Ellis, and then Ashley's kids. And that was, I mean, that's a film that has changed me forever. Outside of even just like filmmaking, we spent 4 years making that film with them. And there was a lot of like great times and a lot of really difficult times, because it just shows how precarious recovery is for someone who has substance use disorder. And then I shot a film with Patrick Ward Perkins, and Picture Proof I made with Jenna Seiler, who's a co-filmmaker that we work together on projects quite a bit in collaboration. And then Of the Cloth I made with Patrick Ward Perkins, who's currently based in Huntington. And that's another feature narrative film. So we shot that last summer, and that's currently in post-production. So those are the bigger projects. Of course, in there, there's like some short films. There was made a Well, what I'd hope to be a pilot episode for a future series called Her Hope Haven that was set in a women's residential recovery center, that was based on some of those experiences while making Picture Proof. And then also, yeah, just some short documentaries in there and some, freelance work and things. But those are kind of the bigger projects that have kind of anchored what I prefer in my own filmmaking, like the personal films. So yeah, that's that.
Well, it's perfect timing for us to be talking today because it's the 2025 International Film Festival going on here in West Virginia. I was looking at the schedule and I saw that you're going to be hosting a filmmaker workshop tomorrow at 10 a.m. here in Charleston. Can you tell me a little more about what that'll involve and how folks can participate?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm very excited. 40th anniversary of the West Virginia International Film Festival. And of course, just being part of the filmmaking community in West Virginia is awesome. And so being able to share some of those experiences with an audience will be great. They can, of course, check that out at the wviff.org website and check out everything about the film festival. What my workshop will be is more of like a discussion, because it's only 1 hour on Saturday. And so there's not much time to really get into like hands-on style filmmaking. But what I've sort of titled my discussion is how to make work when no one's asking you to. Because basically, like I said, we did crowdfunding for Meta Bridge, my fiction film, and then Picture Proof was through grants, Of the Cloth was through grants. Because the thing is I even get like a little apprehensive when I call myself a filmmaker. I do it. But it's hard, right? When you're up against like seeing films that cost millions of dollars and make millions of dollars and people who are able to support themselves financially through filmmaking. Like, I don't do that. I'm so grateful to have my position at Marshall because that's how I'm able to make the work I make. Again, I'm grateful for that because any funding that I get or any films I make are films that I want to make. And there's no one above me telling me what I can and can't do because they're very independent. No one's coming to me being like, here's some money, Tejo. Can we make this film? Or I'm not pitching my films to where someone's like, hey, I'll give you money, but you actually need to do this or this or this. It's just like very scrappy type of filmmaking. But what I hope to show through this workshop or this discussion is to let folks know their stories are still important. You don't need someone to come to tell you that you should make this or make that, but that you're able to share your stories very minimally. And so that's something that I try to encourage my students within the classroom. Like, it's so much hands-on time for my students and being able to make work. Like, take advantage while you have all this equipment at Marshall University. Take advantage while you have your classmates who are willing to work for nothing and to help you build your portfolio. Of course, there are ways to get to those points where you are getting paid to make the work that you want to make. Because this is separate from like client work or, I've been asked to make certain projects for campaigns and things like that, and paid for that, of course. And I do freelance work. But what I'm really focusing on is that like personal storytelling. There are ways, the Greater Kanawha Valley Foundation, which I'm so grateful for, and being supportive of local arts. It's so important to have that opportunity to get funding through them. And then also like Arts Amplified, which was through the Greater Kanawha Valley Foundation, that helped me make a couple of my projects as well. And the West Virginia Arts Culture and History program that allows artists funding opportunities. And I hope that the more folks who are doing this type of work and taking advantage of that can help to fight to keep that funding available. Because I know right now there's so many issues happening. And so funding is quite sparse for even people to eat, let alone to make art. And so I think it's just one of those things that if we're rallying together as an artist collective in West Virginia, that we're able to keep our stories like alive and to be able to tell those. So that's what my workshop will be about, is just some of these opportunities that are out there and to encourage folks to reach for those. And if you are interested, we do have now this BFA in filmmaking program at Marshall. And if we do get the Marshall for All program going that Brad Smith, the president, has proposed as having an affordable way to go to college, then that's an opportunity there as well. And so it's kind of a mix of those things of if, A24 is not coming to you or Netflix isn't coming to you asking you to make films, how can you still do that if that's your interest and your passion?
We at WTSQ have also been fortunate to receive grants from Arts, Culture, and History through the state and through the Greater Kanawha Valley Foundation and their Narrative Change grants. One of the things that caught my eye was your upcoming film, Carrying Bobby. I know it's still really in its early phases right now, but for folks listening, and a lot of our listeners are very much in the arts and film community at WTSQ, what can they look forward to in the upcoming film?
So Carrying Bobby is an experimental short documentary film, and our main anchor and where the story stems from is from Bobby Hatfield, who was part of our legislature in like the 80s, 90s, and even into the early 2000s. I didn't know Bobby prior to her daughter reaching out to me, and her daughter saw my documentary Picture Proof. And then she reached out and she was just like, hey, my mom did all of this work in the 90s and like, you know, early 2000s in the legislature. I have all of these archives. I think, you know, it'd be really important to make a documentary about her. And so we did. We met up and she came in with a stack. We met at Elephant Tie in South Charleston on a Sunday, because that's a place that's open on Sunday in South Charleston. And she walked in with these huge scrapbooks. And she started showing me like all of these clippings of such important work that was happening. And at that time, it was this collective of women who were really just like making people pay attention to politics that were really important at the time. Carrying Bobby will be a short experimental documentary. And by that, what we mean, there will be a lot of work with archives, because the folks who are featured in the film, specifically Bobby Hatfield, who is kind of our anchor in the whole story, who was part of this collective of women, like in the 90s, specifically 80s, 90s, early 2000s, who they were part of this, what Bobby always refers to, the good old boys club. And they were really trying to find how can they make their way for people to care about gender equality, to care about healthcare, basically like this politics of care, because Bobby was also a nurse and she was a mother. And so that was part of her campaign, which is where we get the title, of course, Caring Bobby. Bobby's campaign as she was running for legislature was Caring Makes the Difference. And so that's a lot of what our film, you know, is thinking about and trying to really show what the fight was then and how a lot of the work they did has been undone in our current political system. And I think what's really important too, and this I do want to emphasize, we have these archives, but then really thinking about where we are in our contemporary moment. Jenna and I, as we, you know, I reached out to her. I was like, hey, would you be interested in doing this? And at the time, this article came out through the AP and was talking about how female representation remains so low in U.S. state houses, and particularly for Democrats in the South. And so from the Rutgers Center for American Women in Politics, it said that in 10 states, women make up less than 25% of their state legislature, and that West Virginia is at the very bottom of that list, having just 16 women identifying people, and it's 134 member legislature, or just under 12%. And so, you know, Jenna and I were thinking about that with Kimberly, who is Bobby's daughter, looking through these archives. And that's where it's just like, oh my gosh, they work so hard to, you know, amplify the voices for gender equality and thinking about like the politics of the time and what needed to be done and why should people care about healthcare and all these things, and how that's being undone and how problematic that is. And so, yes, the film is situated around the stories of Bobby Hatfield, but also Marge Burke, who did great things in West Virginia, and Charlene Marshall. We filmed with these women, and then also with Kayla Young, to bring in that contemporary voice of what's happening right now in the legislature. Really, the hope is that the film, once it's together, and we have experimental animation, we have the archives, we have filmed with the women. We were out, Marge Burke, who unfortunately recently passed away, she invited us out to her farm. Her and Bobby talk about those days and what that meant for them and what they're seeing in our contemporary moment is this hope of kind of inspiring like young advocates in West Virginia to be a part of the political landscape and to see what changes you can make, because it's possible. They worked really hard and there's proof of that. And it also reflects like the bigger, you know, what was happened nationally as well. And so we'll bring in a little bit of that. But I think with the experimental, because usually I make observational films, and that's kind of my favorite way to make films, where you're just kind of acting as a fly on the wall and you're just seeing what's happening and you're capturing that. And then you're kind of shaping that story more in the edit. And so with this, I think it offers, the experimental part will offer more of like a space to contemplate some of these pieces and to not just say, this is how it used to be and this is how it is now, but kind of weaving that past and present narrative through these different techniques to hopefully solidify what that is without having to tell people what to think. And so that's kind of our hope with what that film will be like.
How do you think that this film will counter some of the dominant narratives about West Virginia?
So I do think that in our contemporary moment, West Virginia is imagined in the public imagination about being this one thing. It's very monolithic. It can only be this one thing. And I think what this project can do is to add to that narrative, to highlight this moment in history and the fight that continues now. People see the outcomes. They see that through social media and through the news, but it's hard to capture the full struggle. And of course, one film cannot do that. But what we hope to do is to add this part of the past and present to show that fight and to hopefully encourage a new generation of advocates of West Virginia that, like Bobby and Marge and Charlene, they were challenging the good old boys club politics. And they were doing that through care. And it was radical and was meaningful. And they became this political force. But that doesn't stop. That's where I hope that connecting those historical narratives with our contemporary struggles, that's where the project can contribute to a more inclusive understanding of West Virginia's history and maybe be a catalyst for discussions around, you know, gender and activism and political change. And so that's what I really hope that the film can do within that space of what people expect of West Virginia or what they think it is. Because, of course, that's never the case. It's never just one thing or one story.
So this is truly rooted in narrative change and giving an accurate portrayal of the nuances of life here in West Virginia. Because I think as West Virginians, we all know that we get painted with a broad brush that is not a fair depiction of everyone in the state.
Absolutely. And I think the only way to really counter that is we can't stop the negative stories. Of course, negative exists, and that's part of that narrative, but it's not the whole story. And so if we're able to make these small changes, again, yes, narrative change. I think that's why this program and gratefully this project was supported through, you know, this narrative change grant, can do that, can show that it isn't just this one thing, that we have the multiple and how important that is. Because again, especially I think in our very current political moment, it's really complicated in so many ways. And so this one film can hopefully show that the fighting has never stopped.
Well, I know a lot of our listeners will be very interested to see this film. A lot of narrative change crusaders among us listening today. When do you anticipate it being released? And how can folks learn more about the release date of Caring Bobby and some of your other works as well?
So we hope to have this film like complete by spring. We're getting like our rough cut together and Jenna's working on some of the animation now. And we want like a really rich sound design. We're working with Richard and Molly at the archives and trying to like get all of these pieces really together. So hopefully spring. And then at that point, that's when we can submit hopefully to film festivals, because that's where this film, I think, can live and the people will be able to see it and to be able to see these like smaller stories like we talked about of West Virginia, and then hopefully get some type of broadcast for it as well. So that's the hope for where that film can go.
Where could folks find your other works?
So I don't have like a central place of where this work lies. I've worked on my website, which is tijabumgardner.com, but it's not up to date at this time. But there is, my first narrative is on Vimeo. And you can also see it through Vandalia TV, which is a great place where they host a lot of West Virginia-made films. Picture Proof is still currently being played on Kentucky Educational Television and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. So that's where that film can be seen. But other than that, I try to just post once in a while on social media when things are coming up. It's almost like that is, again, being someone who is just scrappy and trying to just make work because I believe in it or I want to do it, promoting it. And all of that is such a different job. It's a whole other job in some way. And so, yeah, tough to keep up with.
For folks who may have just tuned in today, how can people participate in your filmmaker workshop, which will be tomorrow at 10 a.m. in conjunction with the West Virginia International Film Festival?
I'm so excited to get to talk at Park Place Cinemas. It's missed very much. But if you just go to the WVIFF.org website, you'll be able to get more information. And I think that's where you can also purchase passes for the whole festival, which has some great films for you to check out as well.
Sounds great. Thank you so much, Tija.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Thanks for letting me chat about my projects and my work. I really appreciate all that you all do for the arts in our local community.
And we appreciate you too.
WTSQ 88.1 FM, the status quo.